Well, we're going to start with, but I'd like to hear your proposal or your analysis about the survey. It's okay?
Yeah, so my analysis is basically what I put in the email.
Yeah, sure.
Which I forgot. I don't have it here with me. So let me look that up. Hold on for a second.
Let me just say one more time so Hitoshi can hear it. We have an Adobe room. Oh, okay, Hitoshi is on his way in already.
Okay, I'm downloading Adobe Connect right now.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so I should be connected in a minute.
All right.
So, do you want me to proceed?
Yep.
Okay. So, in the email I sent, I tried to summarize the most important the key results of the survey, in addition to the results that Lewis had already put on the mail. So I think that in conclusion, I think that the questionnaire appeared to be representative because most of the respondents were actually responsible for the security at their ccTLD. And also, we had a few large ccTLD managers in there. So there were a couple, about one-third had 1 million or more domain names, so they were the big ones. But unfortunately, the only thing that could, you know, put some pressure on the representativeness of the questionnaire was that not everybody filled it out. I think there was about, so I have it here on paper, so there were 53 people who responded, but there were, I think, 26 who actually completed the questionnaire, so who filled out all the questions. Okay. And if you then look at the results, then I think that the key finding, I think, is that most of the respondents see a strong added value for the content repository, and they also support it in that they're willing to help out, and they also think that we're working on the right types of incidents, so that's all good. But then comes the buck, which is that most of them, only a small majority wants to actually pay for such a service. And I think this is actually where the main tension is between the perceived added value of the service and the willingness of ccTLD managers or ccTLD operators to pay for the service. And I think that this is something that, at least in my opinion, that's the main finding of the survey. And I think that as a working group, this is something that we need to address. Either we need to, come up with alternative financial models. So maybe we should fund it through different means so that it can become a free service or something like that. Or we should start out really, really low key with, instead of a service that requires a log on and that sort of thing, start out with a mailing list, for example. So this was also one of the suggestions that was in the questionnaire that one respondent made. And I think we also need to think about the what I call the adoption rate of the contact repository, which is, okay, do we require like a 90% adoption rate amongst the ccTLD managers, or can we start at a lower rate and then grow? So I think that these are all topics that we need to think about. And the discussion I had briefly yesterday with Bart and Gabi was, okay, what do we present at the Singapore meeting, and what kind of extra or additional feedback can we get from the community at that point? I'm also interested in hearing what you guys thought of the results of the survey.
Hello, just for the record, this is Bart. I just joined.
Good morning, Bart.
Hello.
Well, this is Antoinette, and I do believe that the working group is on the right path as far as at least getting a consensus of the community having an interest in having the incident repository database. I guess my concern is the number of respondents that we had, like almost a 50% non-response rate to some of the questions, and that's a concern of mine. I don't know if it's the question design or what, but there has to be something triggering that. And the other question that I would raise is, why is it, and I know everyone doesn't want to pay for services, but why only a small majority willing to pay for it? And my question as a follow-up to that is there something that's very close in existence, perhaps, where people, you know, are not comfortable with paying? And it's just these are just my initial thoughts in looking at the survey. The last thought that I'd like to put before the working group is a follow-up survey, and maybe with the follow-up survey listing more options as far as what people might respond to, so that we could elicit more responses, because especially in the open-end questions where you asked for additional thoughts, it was very limited. And it seemed those types of questions triggered going on to the next question. And that's all I have to share right now.
Now, what I understood from Gavi, I'm not an expert in surveys, but what I understood from Gavi is that this is actually quite a good result for a CCNSO survey.
Oh, for CCNSO survey, okay.
Yeah. Right, Gavi? Oh, she's not on the call? Okay.
Hi, sorry, I was on mute. Yes, I confirm. It is a good, quite a good result for CCNSO's survey.
Okay.
Yeah, because if you look at the number of, so actually 53 people started filling out the questionnaire, and then 26 of them, they actually finished it from all the way to the end. So I'm not sure how many how many members are there in the CCNSO?
Well, as of tomorrow, we'll be 148. So it sounds bad, but it's actually
it's a good percentage. It's a good percentage.
Everything around 30 is quite good, actually.
Okay. All right, percentage-wise.
So we have one-third of the community, well, roughly, a little bit of less.
Thank you for that point of clarification.
I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying it's good for being the CCNSO.
It's good, overall. It's good for your overall number. As far as... Can we move...
Yes, this is Diego. Thinking about the percentage of CCs that fill the survey, maybe it's a little bit low. But the thing is, they are the more interested people in this kind of thing. Even probably the same people that always answered surveys in CCNSO, and the people that maybe usually participate in CCNSO in everything. What I think is very interesting for me is many of them are big CCPLDs, and even then they are not willing to pay for the service. This could be very representative, because if we think about the small ones, maybe it could be more difficult to find somebody want to pay for the service. The reason, I don't know, I'm not so sure about this, but for sure we need to find an option funding model that could fit the possibility that we don't have payment from each CCPLD that is participating in the repository. In addition, some time ago, we were talking with Bart in the real the real thing that we need at least a good percentage of CCTLD's contact information in the repository, because it will not work. We need a good percentage of contact information there, not the big ones, the most of CCTLDs there, to have a repository, a working good repository. And in the case of mailing it, I agree, it's a good start, simple, cheap, nobody going to be hurt, and it's probably we can make it secure using maybe PGP key or something like that, in the way that the participants or they provide information in the trusted forums. They say sometimes in the survey they need trust is a key here. Then we need to keep the trust during all the process, anything we decide to do. That's the other thing I think about the survey is, there is interest in the repository, and it is feeling a need. Basically, I think it's a good thing to have this repository working according with the survey. That's my words right now.
This is Antoinette again. When it relates to the cost, maybe taking a different type of marketing approach. And I don't know, I'm just throwing up thoughts right now. And for the introductory period, once this repository could go online, is to maybe have an introductory rate, a reduced type of rate, or during that trial period, and then having a structuring for the larger CCTLDs, a rate structure, fee schedule for them as far as things we could perhaps consider in going into the alternative financial models, item number two on the agenda.
Yeah. I think that this is something that we probably need to do, but I'd like to hear your opinion about that, is to, you know, at least present the results to the, so in Singapore, we need to present the results to the community during the CCNSO session, and then we need to make a proposal as to how we would like to proceed. So based on the outcome of the survey, I think the conclusion is that there is added value, but we need to get around the cost thing. And that can basically take two different approaches. One is to come up with alternative financial models, such as Antoinette just suggested, or we define some sort of roadmap in which we, start out really, really simple, and then in a year or so, if the first version of the service, maybe in the form of a mailing list, turns out to work quite well, then we can grow so that people have also already experienced what it means to have such a service around. So,
Christian, in doing the presentation in Singapore, the results, and pointing out the added value, is there any way the working group could perhaps list additional categories, case point justifications for the added value? Because I'm still thinking, we have a definite interest in the incident repository. That's a given fact. And I'm thinking that we have to get more people to be enthusiastic to buy into it. And I'm just thinking right now how we could present case point justifications of this added value at the Singapore presentation? If they-
I think our original idea was to strengthen or to show the added value of the repository by detailing a few use cases that would show the added value of the repository.
So the two case studies would be sufficient?
Two case studies?
The two case studies, is that what you're referring to?
I'm not saying there should be two, but...
Okay. Somewhere I read two, and when I read things, I hold it into memory. So somewhere I read the number two.
That's right. It's two types of incidents that we focus on.
Okay, that's
good. We didn't set a limit on the use cases or the scenarios.
Okay.
No. Actually, we got the response were quite good when it comes to people willing to help out with drafting these use cases. There was about 40.
I saw that one. I thought that was a yay.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
That was a yay. Real enthusiastic. Okay. How would we present the justification for the added value? Because I think if we're able to, after presenting the results, present a strong justification position of the added values, I think that would be the hook to push it and to sell it into the community.
Yeah, well, I think we can...
Because we've been working on this with this working group for quite some time, and it's gone through, and we've made a lot of progress, but it's been a bit slow with it, and I think with more incidents occurring in the Internet community, sometimes it's all about timing.
Mm-hmm. Antoinette, this is Bart, and Christian, and hi, Diego. I think the way Christian just summarized it is probably the perfect way. It's either say is you find more justification and stress the urgency of saying the path we've been walking on with the working group, say have a centralized repository almost up to scale, but then you still have the issue of buy-in, and that's a critical factor. It only works if say a large group of the CCTLD community will subscribe to the service,
right?
And no matter how you throw the dice or how you want, say it's if we do it down the path we've been going on, it will be costly one way or the other, if you do it centralized. And I think an alternative is, as Christian pointed out, is in fact, and that's the way it normally happens, is you start building trust in the sense of start with a very lightweight mechanism, a trusted lightweight mechanism, where hardly any costs involved, and then start building on it, and then at a certain point in time, people will realize that maybe that's really the justification of it, is
that's
yes,
value.
Now we need to go to a more secure, robust system, and there you have your justification to take
okay.
the next step, as this working group has been discussing.
Okay. All right. I'm with you. Thank you for the articulation.
This is Diego again. I agree with that. I like to keep the things simple, but I don't know what happened with this working group in my chair. It's something like I get stuck. But Bart, I have a question about this. The charter of the working group mandates some specific tools or some specific tasks. But in doing this way, are we postponing these tasks for a future, or we are changing?
No, it's what we say. The way I looked at it, and I haven't looked it up in the charter yet, but what I could do is say if you go down the path as we just discussed and as Christian summarized, say, if people, the community wants to pursue the way of implementing a heavy-handed system, which is very robust, that's fine, but then it becomes, yeah, pushing a rock uphill. If you go down the lightweight version, it is recording, it's fairly easy, I guess. It's recording this, going back to this meeting we'll have in Singapore, record it and advise to the council, let it be set up. And either it could be done through this working group or another one, say one way or the other. Say, if you go back to the charter, this working group would have had to report back to the council if it would have advised to go down the path of an RFP. So, and what we're saying right now, based on the survey, based on the evolution of thinking of the working group, maybe, and depending on the feedback we get in Singapore, is we advise to the council to go down the path of setting up a trusted, lightweight email system, which is easily manageable, and maybe think through, say, who should coordinate this, blah, 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 and who should manage it, but that's it. But that's it shouldn't take too much time, and we got the use cases anyway, which have been defined and which have been, so that's part of the final, of the report as well, say, there are no indications to change the use cases, maybe refine them, but that's it.
Bart, I agree. I agree. I think building a trust small and letting it get to the point where people say we need more, that will just take care of convincing them that about the payment, and then be prepared to say if it is more robust, what the cost potential, you know, what possible cost would be. What the possible cost would be.
Because if the advantage of a really simple system is that people already experience its added value.
They could use it. Yes, they could see it and they could use it. And that's where I didn't understand at first, Christian, the added value, and that's why I had it here on my notepad and my question mark as far as how to quantify the added value. But if you start small and they use it and they see
right.
it, and they have their, you know, they experience it. They'll
right.
see the value themselves, and you don't have to convince them because they've convinced themselves.
Yep.
Diego again. Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's better to start with something simple and very cheap or almost free. And one consideration only, in this way we are left behind the different time of access to the contact. For example, we talk about telephone or fax or any other way that not digital way, not internet. And in this simple and cheap way, made in this, for example, we are leaving that. But because that part is the expensive part, keep updated contact information using the form or using the other media, need people to do that manually, then that is the expensive part of the repository. Then if we start in this way, we are left behind a little bit this other requirement, not requirement, but suggested characteristics of the repository. But for me, it's okay. It's okay to start in this way.
I think you're right that multi-channel approach, so if you can use telephone or internet or whatever, that would be ideal, of course. But that might be on the roadmap, so to speak.
Yep.
Yeah, those could be the sidebars as far as having that information available upon request. If someone should, you know, ask the question or query it, at least to know that it has been taken into consideration.
Yep.
And I think, say, the good thing about this, Diego, is, say, if people really want it, then they need to be willing to pay for it, because maintaining such a system That's the real cost to it. It's not setting it up. Setting it up is fairly easy, but maintaining such a system, that's the real costly impact or the costly exercise.
Right. And then if you have a breakdown as far as in the operations of it, the issue of liability.
Yeah,
should it not respond in a more, quote, real-time world? So it's liability there, too. I'm in agreement of, taking it and starting it from the bottom up, start it small and get people to buy in, and let it move, and then, gradually make it more complex.
Yep.
As people ask for it, and also as the need arises as well, too.
That's Diego again. Isaac comment in his email before the meeting, he's not here, but his comment about his concern about the total of participants this will be it's a small part of the whole population. But we are thinking about in this proposal, this low light proposal, we are thinking about that nobody will complain about the service that is free and easy to use, and that is base or assume we are doing about this. But just the comment is about the ISAC thing. It's the presentation of this will be is very low. Then maybe we don't have enough representation to think about this. But thinking about this light edition of the repository will cost nothing or zero. We are assuming that nobody will complain about the participating in this kind of repository or contact points.
But I think that the working group should be prepared to say what was shared with me earlier, because again, that's your first initial response when you see 53 people respond, 20-something complete. To say overall from historic surveys, this is a very, compared to this is a very good level of response. And it's just a simple comment of just, stating that. And being prepared that there's 140-something CCTLDs who overall are registered, a part of the CCNSO. So just to say that simple, those two simple sentences would be adequate and sufficient, because, again, as I said, when I look at the survey and look at numbers, I say, okay, well, it's 50%. That's how I kind of, process it. So two sentences could accommodate that. And again, the fact that it is at no cost or very, very low cost is, again, an added value.
Yeah. The only difference, if we go for the, let's say, the mailing list approach,
mm-hmm.
then the difference with, the full-blown contact repository is that we're basically combining the contact information and the actual messaging on the events that occur, because that's what you do on the mailing list. You send messages saying, okay, I have there is this DNS security incident in Europe, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And whereas with the original approach, or where you have a separate contact repository, there is one channel for the contacts, which is the repository, and there is another channel for getting in touch with each other. So that's two separate functions that we now combine into one if we use a mailing list.
Okay.
That might
that's
be
how the mailing list would incorporate. Okay. I took care of that question here on my notepad. Thank you, Christian.
This is Diego again. I need to apologize because I need to leave the meeting now. I need to move away to other things. Who is going to do the presentation in Singapore about the contact repository? Christian, maybe?
Yeah, I could do that, but of course you're the working group chair.
No, it's okay for me. You can do it. I'd like to raise the possibility to address some of the very good answers about the emergency response by itself in the survey, in the way we can motivate the people that take the time to feel this, making them the show the contribution about this. For example, somebody mentioned the it's a good thing to relate with the CSERT in the country, or some of these suggestions. I think it's a good idea to put it on the presentation in the way that we can at least mention this this effort or this adding value to the survey and to the repository itself. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. I think the more information you're able to diverse as far as saying what you thought about these things for just basically transparency purposes will actually diffuse any additional questions that really don't need to be addressed, because a lot of thought has been given to the process. And Christian, I will be in Singapore, and if you need any assistance with the presentation, I can assist you.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much, Antoinette.
You're welcome.
I will, of course, share the presentation on the mailing list before the Singapore workshop, or at least before the CCN session, so you guys can send in your feedback.
Okay. So by the next meeting, perhaps we'll be able to see?
The next meeting, which was scheduled?
I think next week.
Yeah, I was.
I don't have my calendar in front of me.
Yes, this is Christina. The meeting is on the 25th.
The 25th?
Yep, same time. Well, not same time. 12 UTC.
25th, let me look that up.
25th, let me look at this. I think I'm traveling. I'll send an email out once I look at my calendar. I have nothing further to offer at this point.
Yeah, I'm not available on the 25th, I'm afraid. At least not at this time slot.
Christian, this is Bart. Maybe it's an idea that, say, over the next day or two, or whenever you're available, we have a look at the, a presentation, and I'll take the working group members through the presentation on the next call.
Okay, that sounds good.
It's just as easy, isn't it?
Yeah, that's much easier, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you, Bart. All right, so then
okay.
Bart and I will provide a draft of the presentation by the next meeting.
Okay, we can end now, or there's something else to discuss?
No,
I don't think so.
Well, great. Oh,
right.
Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.